السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. We're still in the explanation of Surah Maryam, and last week, subhanAllah, I forgot a number of verses from verse 27 to 31. I forgot to explain those ayat. I thought I did it. So inshallah, what we'll do today, I'll explain those and then we'll go back to where we stopped last week. And the verse 27 is speaking about Maryam alayhi salam, after she received the news, and after she fell pregnant, and after she was called from the bottom of the valley to shake the tree and not to speak to anyone. Now we're still in the continuation of it. So we'll read from the part where Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فأتت به قومها تحمله قالوا يا مريم لقد جئت شيئا فريا. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says that which its meaning translates to, then she brought him, the baby, after she has given birth to Isa alayhi salam, to her people, carrying him. They said, O Mary, indeed you have brought a thing which is mighty. Fariya has the meaning of being mighty. So you have come with a great sin. You have brought to yourself a great sin. So accusing her of zina. Ya ukhta Harun, ma kana abuki imra'a saw'in wa ma kanat ummuki baghiya. O sister, the like of Harun, your father was not a man who used to commit adultery, nor your mother was an unchaste woman. Now, here Allah Azza wa Jal told us that they described her and referred to her as Ukhta Harun, as the sister of Harun. Now it might come to our minds, and people might think, Harun here, is he the brother of Musa alayhi salam, or is it another Harun? Now, of course, the time between Maryam and Isa and Musa alayhi salam was quite lengthy. It was up to 600 years, according to the statements and the reports. And even if they were not accurate, we still know from the Quran that there was a gap. Allah Azza wa Jal, He tells us that Sulaiman and Dawood came after Musa alayhi salam. So how could it be that Isa is the brother of Harun, and Sulaiman and Dawood came after? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He said to us in the hadith that I am the closest of people to Isa, and there's no prophet between me and him. So there's contradiction. It's impossible that she was the sister, Maryam was the sister of Harun, who is the brother of Musa. It's impossible. But who is it? And how do we understand this ayah? Here the Mufassirun said that there was a righteous man who was pious and known for his righteousness, that they described her to his like. As in, O sister of Harun, the man who is pious and known to be righteous, this is not befitting. This is one explanation. Others said, and this is found in Aysar al-Tafasir for Abu Bakr al-Jazairi, which is a really good effort on behalf of the Shaykh Abu Bakr, where he derived a lot of the benefits from different tafasir. He said, it's not hard to really accept the understanding that here, the sister of Harun, despite the long time that passed, it could be understood like that. Like we say, Ya Akhal Arab, O brother of the Arabs. It's not hard to understand it, that Ukht Harun, the sister of Harun, in righteousness and goodness, despite the great lengthy time between. And we can describe the son of Adam altogether as brothers and sisters. All of them, brothers and sisters. So, therefore, it's not hard to accept this understanding that the sister of Harun, the prophet, of course, who came later, way later after Harun. And they mentioned Harun here because he was known for his piety and his righteousness, regardless which Harun was it, what was intended. The idea here, and what they were trying to hint to, is that how could the likeness of you, O Maryam, who has piety and righteousness, come with such a great matter? The idea at the end of the day, they were advising her and criticizing her, you can say, that how could it be that you come up with a sin like this? When you are described to be the likeness of Harun, no matter which Harun it is, with righteousness and piety. And they said, your father was not a man who used to commit adultery, nor your mother was an unchaste woman. It's very important that we reflect over the words here. The man who commits adultery and goes out with other women, other than those who they are lawful for him, and he commits the adultery with them, we can understand from this ayah that such man will breed the likeness of him who is free from jealousy and free from the care for his chastity and the chastity of his children. And we do have this understanding which is repeated, that if we know that a father is unrighteous and he commits zina and he's someone who doesn't fear Allah Azza wa Jal, he's not going to be really jealous over his daughter. And then it's not really surprising to hear that his daughter is like that, or his son is like that. And this is something, subhanAllah, you find back in time it was understood in a similar way in our times. But of course, it's not for us to go to jump to conclusions here and say that every zani will end up with a daughter that is a zaniya, or a son that is a zani. This is not allowed for us to say that, because in reality, we do have many, many examples that contradict this. And that is, many righteous brothers come from impious parents. And many pious sisters and righteous sisters come from impious parents. So it can't be a rule that's fixed all the time. But it's understood that the person who commits such sins loses jealousy. And therefore, if he loses jealousy, he's not going to be protective over his children and over his daughter and his son. And therefore, the sin might be easier to commit. And we can understand that. وَمَا كَانَتْ أُمُّكِ بَغِيَّةً. And your mother wasn't a lady who was unchaste. Again, you get the similar understanding here.
فَأَشَارَتْ إِلَيْهِ قَالُوا كَيْفَ نُكَلِّمُ مَنْ كَانَ فِي الْمَهْدِ صَبِيًّا.
Then she pointed to him. So she did not speak because she was advised previously,
فَإِمَّا تَرَيِنَّ مِنَ الْبَشَرِ أَحَدًا فَقُولِ إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لِلرَّحْمَانِ صَوْمًا فَلَنْ أُكَلِّمَ الْيَوْمَ إِنْسِيًّا.
The part that we're concerned is that she was instructed not to speak to anyone. And when they see her and they want to speak to her, she would respond by saying that I do not want to speak to any person today. And this would happen even by signaling, that she won't even talk to them while saying that. She would signal to them that I am not to talk to anyone. And others said, no, she was only allowed to say, I cannot speak to you, and that's it. So the point is, she was disallowed from speaking. She was instructed not to speak. Now when they accused her and they looked at her, some of the books of Tafasir say that when they looked at her and they jumped to the conclusion that she was a zaniya, a lady pulled out her hand to hit her, and her hand was paralyzed. And another lady started to speak about her and accuse her and swear at her, and she was someone who could not speak after that. This is found in the Tafasir, and Allah A'lam the accuracy of this, but it's not hard to accept, since
Maryam عليها السلام is from the awliya of Allah Azza wa Jal. From the awliya of Allah Azza wa Jal. So she pointed out, then she pointed out to him, to Isa alayhi salam. They said, how can we talk to one who is a child in the cradle? And how could we speak to this child? What are you mocking us? Are you laughing at us? Speak to a child? Now the tafasir command give different yani, ways of explaining it, but they all said that he spoke. Some of them said that he was suckling from his mother at that time. And when he heard his mother being accused, he turned as a baby, turned away, and by then she pointed out to him and he was speaking the words. He said, before that, they said, how can we speak to a child who was in the cradle? He replied by saying, قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ آتاني الكتاب وجعلني نبيا. Isa replied by saying, verily I am a slave of Allah. He has given me the scripture and made me a prophet. Immediately the first thing that he affirmed, the first words that he stood there to use, and the first defense he had was defending Allah Azza wa Jal from having a son. Inni Abdullah. Straight away, denying the attribute that Allah Azza wa Jal has a son. Qala inni Abdullah. Atani al-kitaba wa ja'alani nabiyya. He has given me the scripture and made me a prophet. The tafasir also give here, they say that while he was in his mother's womb, he learnt scriptures. Because of his mother repeating and reading and reading, he learnt it while he was in the womb. And he said, and he made me a prophet.
وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنتُ وَأَوْصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ مَا دُمْتُ حَيَّا.
And he has made me blessed wheresoever I be. جعلني مباركا أينما كنت. He has made me blessed wheresoever I be, and has enjoined on me salah and zakah as long as I live. جعلني مبارك. He made me blessed wherever I am. The ulama all agree on a meaning, and also they give different meanings besides to this common one they all agreed on. And some of them went even further to say other than what I'm going to say now. But what they all agreed on here, Mubarak, is due to him calling to good and forbidding evil. That he was a Mubarak, a blessed man, because of the character of calling to good and forbidding evil. Due to him having this nature, he was a blessed person. And then others gave more than that, but this is something agreed upon all. And this is the meaning of being a Mubarak, a blessed person. A blessed person isn't the one who has a lot of money. A blessed person isn't the one who has many children. A blessed person is the one, he's the cause for why people remember Allah Azza wa Jal. He's the cause why people refrain from angering Allah Azza wa Jal, because they are reminded. That is a blessed person. Otherwise, no matter how much a person has from wealth and children and intelligence, and he hasn't got this character, what's so blessing about it? It could be actually a niqmah, could be a hasra, could be a nadama for this person. Hasra, a regret, niqmah, a punishment, and a means of a person increasing from his sin. Nadama, a regret on the day of resurrection. So really, the understanding that is derived from being a blessed person is that you are someone who calls to good and forbids evil, no matter where you are. وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ. He made me blessed wherever I am. Wherever he was on a mission. Calling to Allah Azza wa Jal and to the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. He said then, أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ. Wherever I am. وَأَوْصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ مَا دُمْتُ حَيَّا. And he ordered me to pray and give the zakah as long as I live. And this is similar to the command that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given And that is, وَاعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. And worship your Lord until you die. Worship your Lord until you die. So you can see similarities between prophets. They are all given the same commands to worship Allah Azza wa Jal. All prophets had the same message, and that is to worship only Allah Azza wa Jal. And then they differed in terms of they had the set of legislations. They differed in the legislations which يعني Allah Azza wa Jal made it suitable for one nation and not another. Except for Islam, He made it suitable for all people until the end of time.
وَبَرًّا بِوَالِدَتِي وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْنِي جَبَّارًا شَقِيًّا.
And dutiful to my mother, and made me not arrogant and unblessed. Now after he has affirmed his him being a servant to Allah Azza wa Jal, and after he has affirmed that only Allah Azza wa Jal deserves to be worshipped by him saying that وَأَوْصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ مَا دُمْتُ حَيَّ, after he has established that only Allah Azza wa Jal is the true God, he moved on to the second part, and that is that he was dutiful to his parents. And this is found in the Quran.
وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا.
And your Lord has decreed that you worship not but him, and to be dutiful to your parents. And you find this is something repeated in several places in the Quran, where Allah Azza wa Jal links and associates with him being dutiful to your parents. So after the worship of Allah, he commands us to be dutiful to our parents. As to the reasons why, is Allah Azza wa Jal, he's the one who created us initially. He's the one who created us initially from nothing. And our parents are the reason why we exist, due to the marriage. So therefore, Allah Azza wa Jal put His worship first, and then being dutiful to the parents second, due to them being the reason why we exist after Allah Azza wa Jal. So He said, وَبَرًّا بِوَالِدَتِي, and dutiful to my mother, dutiful to my mother, and made me not arrogant or unblessed. Jabbar, arrogant, also has the meaning of someone being a tyrant, being someone who is harsh. Shaqiyya is wretched, miserable, unblessed. Subhanallah, any person, and this is a statement from the Salaf, any person who is undutiful to his parents, he'll combine between these two characters on different levels. He's not dutiful to his parents, you'll find that he will be an arrogant person in many parts of his life, and unblessed. Jabbar, shaqi. Subhanallah. And Isa alayhi salam, he links between the two. وَبَرًّا بِوَالِدَتِي, and I'm dutiful to my mother, and I am not an arrogant, unblessed person. Subhanallah. Yani it's as if he's telling you that me being undutiful to my mother is a cause why I will be arrogant and unblessed and wretched. And this was the reason why the Salaf derived from this what I have said earlier, and that is every person who is undutiful to his parents will combine these two characters of being a jabbar and a shaqi. And think about it, if the person doesn't have mercy towards his parents and love towards his parents and is not dutiful to his parents, then who would he be dutiful to? So you can find that it's the human nature that if he is denying the favors of the one who is the cause why he exists today, after Allah Azza wa Jal, then who is he going to recognize? And which favors would he be grateful to? Which one? So it's derived from this ayah, and this is why the ulama said what they have said, and I've mentioned it earlier.
وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيَّ يَوْمَ وُلِدْتُ وَيَوْمَ أَمُوتُ وَيَوْمَ أَمُوتُ وَيَوْمَ أُبْعَثُ حَيَّا.
And salam, peace be upon me the day I was born, and the day I die, and the day I shall be raised alive. These are the three stages in which people will be in fear in, when they are born, when they die, and when they are resurrected. And he said, and peace will be upon me at these three times. And this is a sign that his beginning was good, his life in between was good, and the life towards the end will be good. And this is a sign that he was truly a prophet. Why? Because had he behaved or did that which is contrary to what he said there, then would have been obvious that he is not a prophet. So him saying, وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيَّ يَوْمَ وَلِدْتُ, the day I am born, وَيَوْمَ أَمُوتُ, and the day I will die, and he hasn't died yet. He's been raised to the heavens. We're going to, inshallah, discuss that at a later time. وَيَوْمَ أُبْعَثُ حَيَّ, and the day I will be resurrected again. It's a sign of a good end for Isa alayhi salam, and it's a sign of his truthfulness as a prophet. Now, we'll stop here and give me a few seconds to pause it where I am.